Think about this. The first temptation in the Bible, the one with Adam and Eve, was connected to food. We know the story. They were tempted to listen to the serpent and ignore God's command. But when you think about it, it could have been another form of temptation that caused them to sin. But for some reason, we see in the Bible that God chose to use food as a test of their faith. Here's the thing. Food, which represents the physical side of our being, is important. You might say as equally important as our spiritual side. Now, I know there's someone out there famous that says everything is spiritual, but there is a physical and spiritual side to our beings. So is food a key component to our obedience with God? Is it something we should have as much more central in our relationship to following after Jesus than we feel like maybe it currently is? Perhaps the first temptation tips us off to the importance of our physical bodies and being obedient to God with them. As always today, we're going to hear from students and hear what they think about this important issue. Today, we're going to take a deeper look into the question, are we adequately addressing the issue of physical health with our students? I'm Jeff Eckert.
And I'm Jason Brewer. And this is The Thought Factory. Now, before we get into today's episode, we realize we probably didn't say much about ourselves in our pilot episode. And so to give you an idea of who we are and why we're even talking about youth ministry, myself, Jason, I've been in youth ministry since 2004. I interned at a local church, and then I became a youth pastor for 5 years at a local church. And now I'm working for Never the Same, which primarily my role for the year is the creative director of our camp, NTS camp, for all of our learning environments at each site. So I oversee all the production and the programming and really have a heart for youth, even though I'm in this role now.
And me, Jeff, I have a background in youth ministry as well, starting a long time ago. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but 1989.
Hey, all right.
That was the back in the day, but just right out of high school, jumped right into student ministry and started doing that as part-time, full-time, whatever needed to be needed, all different sizes of churches, and spent the last part of my time in local church ministry at a church as a high school and teaching pastor at a large church. And then since then, formed the organization that both Jason and I represent, Never the Same, in the year 2009. And we work with students all across the country at events and initiatives that we're part of. One of those initiatives is Claim Your Campus. And I personally have a passion for prayer, and I love to see students praying. And we'll talk about that more in the future. But if you're interested in Claim Your Campus, it's a movement that's mobilizing, equipping, and helping students get organized student prayer groups on their school campuses for middle school and high schoolers. But if you go to claimyourcampus.com, you can learn more about that. If you want to know more about our organization that we represent, that's at website is neverthesame.org.
And if you want to know more about our camp, it's ncscamp.com.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about who we are. We love working with students. We believe it is vitally important in our culture and society and in the kingdom of God to do that. And so that is why we are doing this podcast and why we're here today with you. So today we're going to talk about health. We're going to talk about what that means. And as it pertains to students, as it pertains to our ministry and influence with them. But we thought we'd take a minute to define what that means when we say health so that we're all on the same page. We're not talking about just being skinny or the world's view of being healthy, mainly really in essence being just an exterior issue. It's much more bigger and holistic than that.
Right. And I think, you know, you can't see us. And if you saw me, I'm a fairly skinny person. I've been pretty skinny. But would I say that I'm healthy? Probably not all the time. I'm not necessarily one that can run really far distances and lift heavy weights and have a heart that's, you know, fully healthy. And yet I enjoy eating healthy foods.
Oh, yes, you do. Jason, you eat more than just about anybody I know. And I would say I'm looking at Jason. I've known Jason. Seriously, have you gained weight since high school? Seriously.
I honestly have not. Since my senior year of high school, I have not gained more than 4 pounds.
He would fit under the weight allotment for your, if you checked in a bag, probably.
Probably. I could probably fit into one of those oversized, like, hockey bags.
It's ridiculous.
But the reason I bring up skinny is because we can easily say, oh, they're skinny, so they must be healthy. But that's not always the case. Like, you can not be healthy and still skinny. You can be various sizes of body shape and still be healthy. And so we want to point that out. And health comes from an old English word, hale, meaning wholeness, being whole, sound, and well. And I look at even the World Health Organization's definition of health, and it's a definition that hasn't really been changed since 1948. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity.
So what we're saying in terms of all that, as believers and as people in ministry interested in really God's perspective, we would say that health is an optimal state where our bodies are what God really meant them to be on an individual basis. So that's what we mean when we say health. So I just saw in the Wall Street Journal, actually just yesterday before we recorded this, it's new, that 1 in 5 millennials, according to the Wall Street Journal and something they're citing, 1 in 5 millennials ages 18 to 34 year olds have only 1 in 5 have had a Big Mac. So what do you, I mean, that to me, I don't know.
I'd have to say I disagree. 1 in 5. So you're saying 20%. Of millennials.
I'm not saying it. Wall Street Journal is
doing a report saying that 20% of millennials have tried a Big Mac. Now, I fit into this age range on the upper scale. I didn't realize I was a millennial, but I've definitely tried a Big Mac, and I disagree with these numbers.
So you're a Big Mac fan, it sounds like.
I'm not a fan. I'm just saying I've tried one. I feel like this is a bunch of liars not admitting that they've eaten a Big Mac.
Maybe they like the other sandwiches. Maybe they're the double quarter pounder person or whatever. I don't know.
What's your like go-to menu when you go to McDonald's?
You know, every time I walk into McDonald's, I stand there and it's like I've never been there before. I just stare at the menu. But I would say I like the new artisan chicken. I think that's what it's called, the artisan chicken sandwich. It's pretty good, and it's hopefully somewhat a healthy choice. I don't know.
Oh, see, I just go straight to the double burger or double cheeseburger and medium fry and definitely a Coke. I mean, the McDonald's Coke is unmatched.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I'd say that.
But see, I feel like this report is something kind of related to a Jim Gaffigan bit where he's saying people aren't going to admit that they're going to McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, what'd they say? How many billions? We read that.
It was 14 billion Big Macs.
14 billion. So there's about 7 billion people on the planet.
Right. So if you do the math, that's about 2 Big Macs a person. So yeah, it's...
Somebody probably is lying out there.
It's a few... I don't know. I just don't agree with this, even though it's fresh and new and hot off the press.
And I'm not a millennial, but I'll say we both admitted here we had Big Macs. And we look at... So we think about that, you know... McDonald's is kind of a lightning rod when it comes to health, especially, I think, in younger generations. Looking at some of the research, we looked around. In 2015, the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System surveyed all across the United States, and they're saying that overall, 13.9% of high school students were obese, and an additional 16% were overweight. So that's right around just under 30%. So almost 1 out of 3 students are either obese or overweight that are in high school in the United States. That's a pretty disturbing statistic, I would say.
Is there a correlation to McDonald's in that survey?
I don't know. Now, you know, they rated the states in there, and the number one most unhealthy state for high school students is Mississippi, 18.9%. is their rate of obesity in Mississippi. And they rated the healthiest state. Now, it was, I don't know how this worked, but they didn't go all the way to 50. So the healthiest state was number 37. So I don't know about the other 13.
Oh, the survey was done in 1815.
Maybe before
we had the remaining 13 states.
I see what you did there, yeah. Now, what's troubling to me in this research when I looked at it is that all states are trending up in on obesity rates in teenagers, particularly high school students.
And we also looked at a 2012 study that states the childhood obesity has quadrupled from 5% to 21% in the last 30 years for those aged between 12 and 19 years old. Now, I did a blog on the health and this trend as well in this age group of how obesity is increasing. The trend is going up, and really, what is our role in that?
Yeah, we'll link that to our Facebook page, where you'll find this and other links to what we're talking about. Now, we looked at outside research. We also done our own research, which really is the basis of this season of this podcast of Thought Factory. And so if you didn't hear our pilot episode, we researched right around 3,000 students from all across the country and about 500 adults. We asked students what they thought, and we asked adults what they think students are thinking. And so if you want to know more about that, you can go back and listen to the last episode, our pilot number one. But we ask a couple questions about health. We ask, how do you feel about your own state of health? We ask, when you hear about the topic of personal health, how do you feel? And what would you say is the number one reason for the growing rate of adolescent and child obesity? Now, we've got some of this research, and we found it was very, very interesting to hear their thoughts, but also to compare that with what adults are saying. So, for example, how do you feel about your own state of health? 41% are saying they feel very healthy about their own state of health, while adults predicted that only 13% of students would feel that way. So students are saying they feel way more healthy than what adults are saying they think students feel.
Yeah, and that's pretty encouraging as well. When you look at the numbers and they're going, yeah, I feel really healthy. I would hope to have a proper examination of my own health and say, yeah, I'm a healthy student. I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, it is. One of the other questions we asked was, when you hear about the topic of personal health, how do you feel about that? And this question, amongst all the research we did, we found the biggest disparity between adults, what adults were saying and what students were saying. So, for example, our take from that is adults probably don't really know how students feel about their own health, because in every single answer to that question, the numbers were way off between adults and students.
One of the things that I noticed was, when we look at the question, when you hear about the topic of personal health, do you feel ashamed or feel encouraged, feel indifferent or feel motivated? The adults, 61% answered that the students feel indifferent about health. And so the question is, how does this mentality influence our ministry? When you have adults that think the students are just indifferent about health and they don't care.
Yeah, and students, they're saying to us, they really do care. And with that, 36% of students in our research are saying they feel motivated when they think about their personal health. Now that's, you know, a little over one out of three. They're saying, when I think about my personal health, I feel motivated, which is significant, and it's something we need to understand with our audience being students.
But the adults say less than 10% think the students are motivated when they hear about the topic of health. So again, the adults are not having a very positive outlook for the students when they think about the topic of health.
Yeah, and we want to be really careful in how we present this, because we would never want to overgeneralize what students are saying and kind of stereotype them, because we've got 9% of students, when they ask about their personal health, their answer was, I feel ashamed. That's about 1 out of 10. So 1 out of 10 students are saying, when I think about my health, I feel ashamed about that. And that's something to think about. It's a caution when we are thinking about standing up in front of our students.
I agree. Again, going back to the adults and their perception of what the students think about health, almost 80% of adults perceive students to have a negative view about health. When you combine the 61% that feel indifferent and then almost 20% think they feel ashamed, this is adults thinking what the students feel. And that's a big number for adults to have a negative perception when they think about students and health.
And students are generally feeling positive. They're
right.
Feeling motivated. They're feeling, you know, encouraged about the state of their health. So those numbers are quite different. Students are feeling generally positive. Adults are feeling generally negative.
Now, in response to a survey we did in 2014, we asked the question, which one thing about food is a temptation for you? And kind of digging deeper into this topic of health and how they feel and perceive food. And the top answer was eating unhealthy came in at 39% of those that responded. And that's a survey that was about the same amount of students that back then in 2014 as our recent survey of about 3,000 students. And so 39% of the respondents say the top thing, the one thing that food is as a temptation for you is eating unhealthy. And then the next top answer was eating too much. And that was 24% saying eating too much is a temptation for me. So combined, 63% of students have an unhealthy relationship with food.
Wow.
And this was a survey done 2 years ago, but that was something that we looked at and kind of pair it to the view of health that we're looking at today.
So that really brings us, as people interested in our relationship with students and leading them and trying to help them in their lives, what are they hearing about health from their spiritual leaders? We asked that question as well. How much does your church talk about the importance of physical health? And this one was, wow, it was a huge number of students that are saying either seldom, rarely, or never are they hearing from their church and their spiritual leaders about health. 72%. That's a lot. Almost 3 out of 4 are saying we never or rarely or maybe once a year are hearing from our leaders, from our church, from people that are teaching us about God. They're talking about physical health.
And sometimes the spiritual leaders, when they talk about health, it's up front in front of the group of students, and it may not be in conversation, but to define seldom, it's 1 to 2 times a year, and then rarely, maybe once a year, ever, and never. That's a huge number as well to say, as spiritual leaders, we're not communicating this. We're not leading the students in this direction. We're not saying it's really that important. This is based off of the response of this question, of course.
And over the last few years in our ministry at Never the Same, primarily through NTS Camp, we've tried to weave in this idea of physical health a little bit here and there in some of the teachings and some of the topics and some of the breakouts that we do, because I think we feel like it's an issue that's trending in the wrong way, and it's one of those things that really doesn't seem to be addressed a lot. And so our encouragement to you is think about some of the passages in Scripture. Daniel 1 is a great example of taking care of our physical bodies. Daniel there, if you look into that passage where he talks about, and in the NIV translation of Daniel there in chapter 1, he says, he refused to defile himself with the king's table. That word defile, looking at the translation, the meaning of the word, that word means to pollute. Daniel's saying, I don't want to pollute my body with this food. I think that's a significant statement. We also find some teaching in the New Testament.
Yeah, with Paul talking in 1 Corinthians, the body as a temple. You know, did you not know that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in us? And therefore, we should honor God with our bodies. And I know Paul was referencing more of sexual immorality, temptation, but I feel like that line, honor God with your bodies, can also be referenced to what we put into it, how we manage it, how we take care of it. So when I read that, and our body's a temple, I definitely think health as well.
Yeah, and that's a striking statement. Paul's saying the temple of God is now your physical body. That's a very significant theological hinge point to think about, and Paul gives us that. So we find that both in Old and New Testament, and I think we could say Scripture definitely supports the idea that we're made in the image of God. And I think about Zig Ziglar, one of my favorite motivational guys, and I remember him talking about think if you had $1 million racehorse. If you had $1 million racehorse, would you keep it up all night smoking and eating junk food? And he kind of makes a joke about that. And he says, what about a $5 cat or a $10 dog? Now, I'm glad that dogs in his example are worth more, because I like dogs.
Have you ever seen a dog smoke a cigarette?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
I think I've seen pictures of those dogs that are playing poker.
You got that or Conan O'Brien's dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Triumph, yeah.
Yeah, Triumph is a cigar smoker. You know, he's a $10 dog.
Yeah, he talks about, so, you know, you wouldn't do that. And then he asked this question, which is so pointed. He says, how about, you wouldn't treat $1 million horse that way. How about $1 billion body? And his point there, Zig Ziglar is saying, Our bodies are priceless. They cannot be replaced. And that, I think that's the message we want to be sending to students, that when we're talking about our physical bodies, they are priceless things made in the image of God. We really need to be aware of that. So we, in thinking about this, there are cautions to think about when we're working with students. Whenever we talk about health, and particularly even food, we need to, of course, be aware of all the different things that students are dealing with. Things like eating disorders, overreacting, the rebellion that they might have if we talk about health, and the rebellion they might have against their parents. So if they hear us talking about health in a youth group or church setting and they go home and their parents offer something that they don't feel like is maybe a healthy choice, we've dealt with that where students kind of are, you know, giving their parents a hard time. And you got to be careful with that. So we need to prepare students to be in a place where there's a balanced way that they're receiving this information and they're able to understand it and it doesn't lead to further disorders in their lives.
Yeah, I think about the number of students and even our own selves, our identity is attached to food. But we ask the question, so then what is our role in helping students in this area, which can be very difficult to navigate through?
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk about next, our role.
Hey, I'm Justin Warrens, and I am on staff at a church in Metro Detroit. And I joined up with Never the Same Camp about 5 years ago when I was a youth pastor at this church. And I have loved our experience there for our students and our leaders, the partnership that we have formed, the momentum that we have gained in our ministry, not just in the summer, but throughout the year has been catalytic. We love how NTS pours into our leaders and our students, and that as we join with NTS together, we come back ignited for our school year. Even things like CYC, which is Claim Your Campus, it has been an incredible way to see our student leaders grow in their faith and increase in their prayer life inside of their schools. So as a church that has a movement of a growing connection of young students on a multi-site campus, it has been a gift to us.
And let me take you back to your junior high or high school cafeteria. Can you imagine? You're walking in. Mm-hmm. Think of the sounds. Think of what you hear when you go into cafeteria. Think about the smells. You getting hungry yet? Maybe you're not getting hungry. Mm-hmm. So imagine walking in. The school cafeteria is an interesting place, isn't it? There's so many different things going on where
all
you're sitting.
All the anxieties that just rise up in me.
Yeah, even right now,
the
right?
The stressors. Yeah, you made me think about all the things that I have to go through just to sit down.
As a youth pastor, one of my most anxious moments was walking into the cafeteria to see students. That was one of the, I forced myself to do it, but I hated doing that. It was hard. But as a student, like that first day of the year, you know, when you don't know what anybody's schedule is, and so you walk in, you don't know where to sit. You're not sure if your friends are there, who you're going to sit with. It's crazy.
You make friends with people that you know because they're the only ones there.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I've seen you in our classes. I guess I'll sit here and be friends with you for the next 30 minutes.
I'm intrigued by all the different little nuances and unwritten rules. I remember hearing a student recently saying that her and her friends, they were sitting at this table. They kind of, you know, scoped out their table that first or second day of the school year. And then a few weeks in, they go to that table and there's some other set of random girls sitting there. And I remember the students saying, hey, that's our table. Everyone knows in our school that that's a rule. You don't take someone else's table. I just thought that was a reminder of what it's like in the lunchroom.
Now, is there a rule about switching tables like midway through lunch?
I mean, it depends. Like, I don't know.
You get done with your lunch, you're like, hey, see you later. And you throw away your lunch and then you sit at somebody else's table.
Yeah, maybe. You know, every school has its own little unique thing, which is kind of fun. And we ask students about their lunch experience. And we ask them, how would you rate the typical lunch that you eat at school, whether you buy it or bring it? And what we found was 66%, 2 out of 3, are saying either very healthy, 13%, or somewhat healthy, which is about 54%. So 2/3 of students are saying either somewhat healthy or very healthy. That's saying, they're saying to us that, hey, we're trying to eat healthy at least a little bit when we're at school every day.
The thing that we don't know is the percentage of students that their moms pack their lunch.
Right.
Because when I grew up, my mom packed my lunch.
Exactly.
She included every food group in my brown paper bag, and I loved it.
Now, see, I was old school. I had the Star Wars tin lunchbox, which I totally loved, and I tried to keep that as long as I could. Now, Star Wars was cool when I was in elementary. Then it kind of became uncool, but I kept that thing, and I loved it. And so, you know, as you're thinking about that and what we're bringing, what about the environments that we control? So we know what they're eating at school. We're hearing from them. What about, as ministry leaders, the environments that when they're with us and they're eating, so a camp retreat, a youth group, a party, whatever. Reminds me of, we used to do this thing where when students would come in for their first time, we would give them a 2 liter of Mountain Dew. Then they could also carry it around, and we kind of knew.
Yeah, there was intent behind it.
Yeah.
To say, hey, this is a new student, so make sure that you are introducing yourself to this new student. Make sure that they feel welcomed.
Yeah.
As a new student, I don't know if I'd want to walk around with a 2 liter.
I know.
What, of anything.
I know. What
that's
message
so cumbersome.
I know. It was weird. Hey, it was an idea.
12-ounce can would have been way better.
I'm going to blame it on the students. Well, we wanted it to be visible so it could be seen. I know. That was ridiculous. That's funny. But our example, you know, as adult leaders, that plays a role too.
Yeah, I think our example plays a huge role, because when we look at the health and what they are hearing at church from our spiritual leaders, I tend to look at the example of the adult leader or the senior pastor or the youth pastor. I believe the example plays into what they're hearing. How often do they may talk about it, but how often do they just view you as an example of healthy eating, healthy living? And if you're not an example of it, how are they going to take leadership from you?
Yeah. One of the things to think about is, with the students that we work with, probably all different kinds for all of us, some of them may not really have the means to at least believe they can afford to eat healthy. And that's a significant issue. And that brings us to this idea of money and budget, and questions that we've been talking about and I wonder about is, does your church, do they budget around healthy eating for their eating environments?
I think that's a significant question.
And, you know, so does your budget, in essence, match your theology? And it reminds me, I teach a camping and retreats class for youth ministry on a college level, and we had this discussion. I had them create a budget for a retreat, and we created, you know, a line item for food in there, and we had this discussion. So, for example, think about this. If you're planning a retreat and you're budgeting for food, do you make that food as cheap as possible in order to make the retreat as cheap as possible so that you can get the most students there? Or do you try to have some healthy options there, which generally is going to cost more, which is going to cost more for students to go? That's a great tension to live in, to think about.
And I think if you're choosing to provide a healthy option at your retreat, at your youth group, and you never teach about it, you never talk about it, there's no leading up to that point, I think the students will get to that retreat or get to your youth group and go, what is this? Like, I'm expecting pizza and junk food and energy drinks, and you're providing hummus and broccoli. What's going on here?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it almost has a negative effect, because then 2 days goes by and they don't want to eat anything. And so if you're not leading up to that point of the reason why we have healthy food here offered at this retreat is because of this, this, and this, then that's why you see this on the table, then I feel like they have a better response to it versus just a cold, here we go, let's try this and see how they react.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And there's clearly benefits on both sides. I think all of us, because of our heart for students, we want to see as many students in environments like that as possible. How do we create that environment where we're supporting things that we believe in? And we're not here to tell you what to do. There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. It's going to depend on where those values kind of land when you're thinking about things like this. But I just find that I'm not sure very many leaders may be thinking about this, and we just wanted to put it on people's radar.
I know it wasn't on my radar when I was a youth pastor as much. It was more the budget that I had to work with. And the pizza that I brought in every week for our youth ministry was based off of knowing the owner at the local pizza shop, and he gave me a great deal. So I was like, sweet. It wasn't something that was on my mind when I was leading that. But at the same time, I'm going, how do I supplement this? Well, you know, girls, you bring sweet snacks, and guys bring salty snacks, because, you know, girls are sweet and guys are chemical reactions.
Mm. So that really leads us to, I think, an important question for us to wrestle with is, what theological message are we sending about the food that we offer at our ministry gathering? So an application for us to think about, what we think, for all of us to consider as youth ministry leaders here, is we must address this issue in our ministry because it does matter.
Yeah, our spirit and our body are images of God. We are to glorify God with our body. We must see ourselves as spiritual leaders of students, but do we see ourselves as physical health leaders as well?
So make sure all these thoughts, some links, some of our research is going to be on the Facebook page. We hope that you go there. Just search Never the Same on Facebook. You're going to find this episode as well as links and some discussion among some other youth workers. We hope that you check it out.